I was like anti-killing. My grandmother would trap flies in a contraption and let them go outside. That's what I apparently grew up leaning more towards.
Plenty of guys that came from the Midwest or East Coast that don't really get to experience this elevation and were kind of concerned with how they would do. They absolutely smoked it, man.
The nice thing about the Birch Barrel, it allows you to connect with your food, connect with your family, allows you to connect with your friends. So it's just more fun.
It's a wealth of knowledge that you'll gain in these 4 days. It's ridiculous. If you don't come away from this thing learning something, then you're not paying attention.
Hey, all. This is Corey Pearsall with Birch Barrel.
Hey, this is Chris Hollis, no relation, and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
I would rest at peace for eternity if my legacy was that I made a positive influence on the non-hunting public about what hunters are and what hunting is.
I finally got my buck on our last real day of hunting.
So a pro-hunting organization is voting against hunting. And that says anti-hunting to me.
There was a year straight where I was averaging up to 200 death threats a day.
I hugged it like I just wanted to hug a bear.
It's proven that the average steak in a grocery store touches 50 to 100 hands and machines. And we're putting that into our body.
Hey, y'all. Cable Smith, host of the Lone Star Outdoors Show here.
This is Adam Weatherby.
I'm Corey Jacobson with Elk 101.
This is Christy Titus.
Hey, folks. This is John Bear.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative as part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective. So, y'all, getting on to today's episode. We are here at Western Hunting Summit. It's after the third day of the summit. We just had a fantastic meal here in Bozeman, Montana at the Birch Barrel headquarters. And we're all kind of sitting back, having a couple of drinks, reveling in a couple of beers, and I've sitting here, you guys can probably tell we're outside. We got cars driving by, so I apologize for the noise. But it was one of those moments where we were just having a good conversation, and I'm like, well,
let's record it.
Let's just fucking put on some microphones and start talking. So that's what we did. I've got Corey and Chris here who literally we were just all three talking. There's no real cross relation or theme, I'd say. I mean, I got Chris here from California, a fellow Californian, and Corey, I don't know, Corey, where are you from originally?
Originally, upper state New York.
There, dear Lord, like opposite sides of the United States. We got a bunch of liberal hippies here, apparently, right? Because that's what New Yorkers and Californians are.
Yeah.
It happens, but all right. So this will be interesting. One thing I always like to start out with is, like a quick intro and on who you are and how you got introduced to the outdoors and hunting. So, Chris, I'm going to go because California is better than New York. I'm going to go.
I live in Montana now, so I mean, there's a reason I left.
No, I'm going to go with you first, Chris.
So, Chris Hollis, born and raised in Stockton, California. Beautiful city if you've never been there. Just kidding, generally avoid it. However,
I try not to stop there for gas when I'm going.
exactly. So I was introduced to hunting by my father, my grandfather. It's a family thing for us. I know a lot of folks don't generally consider California as a hunting mecca or a lot of hunters being there, but it's a huge tradition in the Hollis family, and I've grown up as a mule deer hunter, black tail hunter, black bear hunter, and big time archery guy, and that's my passion. So I'm out here to kind of, I guess, learn from all these folks out here and represent California.
There you go. All right, former New Yorker, now Montanan. Is Montanan the correct?
Montanan.
How do you say it? Like New York? New York?
No, for upstate, I'm pretty far away from the city. Yeah. About 4 hours north of the city. But I've been in Montana since 2004-ish. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm a Montanan now, but my wife's from Montana, so I can never claim to be a Montanan.
My kids, shut that down pretty
like,
quick.
I feel like,
well, she's not here, or you can't.
She's, right? Yeah, so like, I can say it. Yeah. My kids are from here, right? So they're like my anchor babies in Montana. So,
classic.
I'm Montanan now, right?
There you go.
I don't know
if
that's legitimate. But anyway, hunting, man. My story is a little odd. Grew up in a whitetail family, a whitetail hunting family, but I was like anti-killing. Like I was actually anti-hunter growing up. My grandmother would trap flies in a it's like contraption and let them go outside. Like she was that much of a like an animal lover, and I just that's what I apparently grew up leaning more towards. It wasn't until I moved to Montana and kind of, I mean, not to insult anyone, but stopped watching like the hunting channel and realized what hunting was, right? Mm-hmm. And what it really is about, that it started to really be intriguing, right? Harvest. Like that was it for me. So, been hunting a long time, primarily chasing elk, archery season. There's always time for archery elk season. And then, a lot of times though, whitetail will fill my freezer. So
what brought you out? So it wasn't hunting that brought you out to Montana.
No.
What brought you out?
Fishing, fly fishing.
Okay.
And the mountains. So, growing up in New York, it was hard to find anyone to go hiking with. Even though we lived in the Adirondacks, like I was at the foot of the Adirondacks, beautiful mountains, could not find a hiking partner. So I figured I had to go find someplace else. And Montana, you know, river runs through it. That, you know,
now, just drew wasn't me it filmed out here. In Idaho?
It was like filmed completely somewhere else.
It was about the Blackfoot, Missoula, Montana. Yeah. But it was filmed on the Gallatin, actually. Most of it was filmed on the Gallatin here outside of Bozeman.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what drew me. The fly fishing drew me to Montana. And then, yeah, just had, you know, all my friends were hunters, so started to understand what it was about and just adopted it as part of my lifestyle, yeah.
I'll tell you what, we've talked about this already, but, like, I'm getting into the fly fishing, and I'm loving it being out here. I finally caught
a fish.
My first fish on a fly. I've been fly fishing since November. I picked up my rod. I tried casting it a couple of times. But, like, really, it's been about a month. Went out with a friend once, and I've been having, suffice to say, some rough luck since then. I broke my rod one day, got eaten to crap the next day, like, by bugs. I forgot my bug spray, forgot my long sleeve shirt. I was in shorts. I was, like, in the middle of a wide freaking river, and I was still covered in mosquitoes.
Which doesn't happen in Montana, just in general. That's just you, apparently.
Apparently so. Normally they don't bother me.
You know, swarmed by every mosquito in Montana.
Coming from California, coming out to Montana, and I got obliterated by mosquitoes.
Seriously?
Yes. Like, if I take my shirt off right now.
I just want to come on the mic and say America.
We do have another mic if you want to come on. Dear Lord. More Californians. Who let those people in here?
I think there's actually more of us here than...
I would say if you put pins in all the states...
Everyone
I think
in Bozeman
this
listening
point.
To this hates me right now.
You're talking to the enemy.
They already hate you.
Creating an environment.
That's
your transplant. Just as bad.
So far, my California license plate has not gotten
no, it's a joke. It's just a joke.
Oh,
no one's really that upset.
I do laugh about that, though, because I go on all these road trips, and, you know, I go through a ton of different states. I end up in Boise. I end up in Colorado. I end up in, you know, Bozeman. And, you know, it's a little, yeah, there's a stereotype about the Californians that come out there. But I hope that I have, like, between the Country Sam license plate and all of the hunting stickers on
yes.
there, I am hoping, like, I will be spared from the car vandalism or something.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
Yeah, no, man. It's
Chris. What do you think of Montana?
Yeah.
Is this your first time, or how?
This is my first time in Montana.
Really?
I absolutely love it. I mean, some of the mountain ranges we went up to for the Western Hunting Summit reminded me of the Sierras at home. So I've hunted in several other states: Idaho, Arizona. I generally chase mule deer. Coming out here, it's. Like I said, some of the mountain ranges are very similar, and I love your guys' community out here. It's something that I don't really... In California, I feel like, and I don't know if, Sam, you can attest to this, but there's a lot of hunters out there. I feel like we're kind of underrepresented in California. There's a lot of us out there. Well, there's a lot of us out there, but we generally kind of keep our heads down, you know?
Gotcha.
I mean... So coming out here to see this, like, tight-knit community and this just beautiful place you guys live in is... I mean, it's amazing.
It's terrible. It's not that pretty. Just everyone that's listening. No, that's just kidding.
Yeah. Stay away from here.
The mountains don't turn pink and purple ever.
Oh, so when my friends come out from New York, I'm like, listen, we're gonna have a good time, but keep it to yourself. No one else can know.
Yeah. It's a well kept secret. I mean, I talked to my wife last night on the phone, and we had, in the last several years, been considering relocating to another state. We've got good gigs in California, so it's hard, and obviously we've got family, but she asked me how I like Montana, and I told her I didn't want to take her up here because she'd fall in love with it. So,
it's a backup. It's a pretty nice backup plan when you guys are...
Yeah, not too terribly bad. Yeah. I'll put it to you that way.
I don't know. Calling it a backup plan just that feels like a sin to me.
Doesn't do it justice. Yeah.
I honestly, and people have probably, anybody that's been following me for any amount of time has probably heard me say this, but like my heart has been in Montana for long before I ever even came here. And I don't know what it was. I always just knew like Montana was where I was supposed to be. But it's funny, you know, you talk about like we hunker down a little bit in California when it comes to hunters and like coming out. I remember one of the first times like in, as an adult, I came out to Montana. I was on a road trip, and I had some local friends in Missoula showing me around to, like, the local bars, and we went to Kettle House. And I'm drinking a Moose Drool right now. I'm sinning at the moment, but the guys both have a couple of cold smokes from Kettle House. But so we went to Kettle House, and we were talking, and it felt like a very California bar. Like, it was very kind of hipstery. Yeah. You know, the dude was in, like, all denim and, like, a flat-brim hat. And I was like, I felt very much like, okay, this is like any hipster bar in L.A.
Oh, jeez.
But then all of a sudden, he starts talking about his elk hunt, and he turns around, and he's got like a public landowner like patch on and like an elk hunting patch on his denim. And it was very uncomfortable for me.
It's like a hybrid.
It was like... Okay, I'm seeing
hipster,
one thing.
Hybrid hipster.
I'm seeing one thing, but it's like, it's this cognitive dissonance between what he's talking about. I'm like, no.
You're not used to that.
No.
And it's such a funny thing because you get these same people, but it's such a different kind of community. And it's so centered around the outdoors. And that's one of the that's one of the things about being out here. It's like, we have amazing public land access. I think it's over 60% public land in California. I mean, including beaches and
yeah.
But we have amazing access. But the community in general is not centered around the outdoors. Like, it's just not what it's about. And if you can, it's like it's in the fiber of everything out here.
Yep.
And that's what's amazing about coming out. I feel like you just don't get away with it.
Well said.
Or from it, I should say. But
I completely agree.
So we're here at the Western Hunting Summit. Did a little bit of workout, a little bit of eating, a little bit of learning today.
A little bit of workout. Yeah. It was a smoke show. It was good.
So Dustin was there, right? Dieffendorfer. He's the founder of Mountain Tough.
Yeah.
The big jack dude that was staring at you with no expression on his face.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just want your approval.
He's like, do better, suck less.
Yeah. I love that guy. He's one of the nicest human beings, but yeah, very intimidating at the same time.
So to tell you guys a little bit about this workout, like they describe it and you're like, holy crap, that's gnarly. So I had to actually go drop some equipment off at the rental place at the time of this workout. So I come, I watch, I take some photos. I watch for a good chunk of the beginning of this workout. I leave. I'm gone for at least an hour. I come back, not even close to finished yet.
No.
Like, suddenly, like, everyone was shirtless and, like, looked like they were on their deathbeds nearly.
Yeah.
But I was like, holy crap. I expected, like, everything to be done, like, all the stuff to be cleaned up by the time I got back. That was gnarly. How does that compare, like, to preparing you for a backcountry hunt, a workout like that?
Oh, man, it's great. I mean, I stay relatively fit. I come from a kind of like a traditional, like, weightlifting background, and I do a bit of cardio just by nature of my employment. I've got to stay in relatively decent shape, but, I mean, their programs, I mean, to be honest with you, I hadn't heard of their programs until I came here to the Western Hunting Summit, and I think it, what it really kind of, their program hinges on is mental toughness. I mean, that's like, the workouts are long, they're strenuous. They're nothing that nobody, I mean, anybody can do it. You just have to be there mentally and push through it. And a part of the aspect of it, at least the workout we did today, was the team aspect and pushing each other. Whether you're a solo hunter or you're hunting with somebody else, I think it's just part of the exercise was to kind of dig down deep and find the will to continue to keep going, influence others around you, and just keep pushing, man. So I think when you're on the mountain and you're that guy who's like, that next peak, that buck's 5 miles away and I'm going to get after it, I think that's it's kind of a big thing of what they're pushing here. And I dig it, man. I love it. I found enjoyment in my suffering today.
So. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been here for both the elk and the mule deer summits. And it's interesting watching the difference between, because we had Dan Stanton from Elk Shape here last week. And it's interesting because, you know, you see all of these like mountain hunting related workout. You got Train to Hunt, you got Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge, you've got Built for the Hunt, you got Fit for the Hunt, you've got Elk Shape, you've got like Mountain Ops has their stuff, you've got Mountain Tough. But they all are so different in what they focus on. Cause like even just looking at Mountain Tough versus Elk Shape, Mountain Tough is like all about pushing you to your limit so you develop that mental toughness, versus Elk Shape is more about like developing those functional habits for the backcountry, like getting your heart rate up and then learning to shoot in a controlled fashion for that. And they're so complementary of each other. You'd think like, oh, they're competitors, but they're not. It's such a complementary like skill set you would learn. Like you learn completely different things, but you, if you look at them, you're just like, oh yeah, they're both like mountain hunting workouts.
Ideally, you would do both.
Yeah, I think they all kind of complement each other in some way, and what works for somebody may not work for somebody else, and mm-hmm. just kind of find your niche and what works for you. And I think that's a big deal because everybody here, I mean, at the Western Hunting Summit, everybody is different, you know, different body style and what they normally do or whatnot, and everybody pulled together and crushed it today. Absolutely crushed it. Nobody gave up, nothing. Everybody crushed it.
It was really impressive to see. I mean, there were really, I mean, everyone stuck through to the end. You know, there was one injury, for lack of a better term, but it was a hot day and there was some stuff going on, and so that was unfortunate. But I mean, everyone like mentally was there, and like I was watching when I came back. Like it was getting towards the end, and like people were pushing through 100% the whole time. As far as I could see, it was impressive.
Well, not to mention some guys put down like 15 miles on the mountain at 8K plus the day before. Gee, so yeah. You know, it's to come out from doing any substantial amount of miles on a mountain to go and doing this the next day is, it just shows, you know, mental toughness at its finest.
Oh man. So Corey, how'd you get hooked up with all this nonsense?
With the Western Hunting Summit?
Yeah, just with this whole crew.
Yeah, Ryan Lampers and I are good friends. He's also a good, strong advocate for Birch Barrel. And anytime we have an opportunity to cook for people, especially like-minded individuals, we jump to that occasion. So, yeah, it's just it's a layup for us.
Yeah. Nope. No, and it's, trust me, we are very, very glad you're here because it has been some quality food, folks. Let me tell you what we've had bear and elk brats. We had Mr. Andy. I feel like I always mispronounce Andy's last name.
Mokel. Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah. Or maybe I'm mispronouncing.
I don't know. That's how I pronounce it.
Just call Flip Flop. Andy Flip Flop.
Yeah, Andy Flip Flop. I don't know if he actually listens to the podcast or not, but I hope he does, and he's laughing at this now.
If you don't know who Andy Mokel is or what his flip flop style is, you've mm-hmm. got to Google it and you've got to check it out. I mean, it's primitive and it's delicious. I mean, it's like exactly up all of our alleys.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's been feast after feast after feast. I, you know, officially yesterday earned my status as employee of the year, with Birch Barrel. keep an eye out on the Birch Barrel socials for an appearance by yours truly.
Quick time lapse.
There we go.
It.
There we go.
Yep. Now it's been fun. It's cooking for large groups, and you know, primarily wild game. I mean, we did burgers today, and it was grass fed beef instead of wild game. But most of my wild game's gone in my freezer already, so I can't
I was gonna
really
say,
contribute
I think
to that.
We've kind of tapped but, out Ryan and Hill too.
Yeah. Ryan's three freezers. He has three freezers at least.
Oh yeah,
at
least
at his place.
It says a lot. I mean, if y'all don't follow Stealthy Hunter, Ryan and Hillary, or Ryan Lampers, you may not understand, but like to say that you have tapped out Ryan Lampers on like the general like large amounts of wild game he's able to provide is that's saying a lot. We've eaten a lot of wild game.
Nope.
I'm sure he's got reserves because there's no way that dude's giving us all.
There's
his,
still
all his wild game, but
he said he's reluctant to give all of his bear out. So he's definitely got a hidden one somewhere.
Exactly. Well, he's like such a bear addict. Like he'll talk about eating bear all day long. I think that's got to be his favorite.
Yeah, we so when we were making the sausage, we filmed it and took. I mean, the content that we got out of it, I mean, I learned so much just by having the conversation with him while we were stuffing sausage. But, yeah, anyway, I mean, the experience that guy has for bear hunting, it's uncanny. I mean, when's this next summit? Next summit's
bear I
want
to say it's
hunting,
like in 2 weeks,
yeah.
Something like
yeah.
that. It's like, I think, the second weekend. It's whatever the weekend after 4th of July
I feel like I just want to follow. I'm just going to, like, bomb the –
Well, you can. You gotta hike that. You gotta hike that. That birch barrel up there, man.
Yeah.
How much is it again? 55 at least.
Yeah, 55 pounds for the barrel.
Yeah,
a little bit more for the legs.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta put some backpack straps on it. So that, and you can pack your gear in the birch barrel.
Yeah. There you go.
Lampers would easily carry that in.
Yeah,
I'd take his backpack. He'll carry that.
Just put it on Brian Barney. That guy is just invincible.
Oh goodness, man.
This is one of the amazing things about this, and it's like, you know, I worked on the website, I worked on the marketing for the event, and I helped Ryan and Hill launch it, and so I see these names, and a lot of these are people I know, I've met through the podcast, and like I've been staring at these names for months at this point, and I've been talking about what we're with them about what's going to be happening, but then, like it comes down to it, and there's moments where I'll sit back. And I'll look at the amount of knowledge in this room that's being shared for this event, and I'm like, this is insane. The experience you have at this, and like this is not like me doing like paid marketer. This is me just taking off my marketer hat and sitting back as like
observing.
An attendee of the event. Yeah.
Have you laid a foundation on what the event is? Like, have you told your audience?
I don't think we've
sit in a classroom setting. Yeah. You go in the mountains.
Yeah. So for those, like I did a while back, I did an episode with Ryan and Hillary, and we talked about the event. But effectively, for those that didn't hear it, it's a 4-day event. First day, go up the mountain. You get the whole like mountain experience. You pack in. You get to learn about gear. You get to learn about where to set up camp, how to glass for animals, like the whole experience. Just shy of like putting a stock on and
glassing
and
animals.
An animal.
Like you guys,
you're legitimately
you
glassing
guys
up.
Saw mule deer on your scout.
We saw a lot of animals.
Yeah. So let's talk about the hike a little bit. Like, what was that experience?
Yeah.
Like?
So I mean, the hike in was a burner. It was a good elevation gain. I fancy myself somebody who lives close to the Sierra Nevada mountains range in California and gets on the mountain quite a bit. These guys are smoking me. Brian Barney, Ryan Lampers, Cody Rich, and those guys are just, they're used to it. Like I said, I hit the mountain quite a bit and those guys were smoking me. So we hike in the first day, pick a camp spot. Some of those guys elected to go with Brian Barney on another trip, which was about 4 miles out, at least 4 miles back. So those guys were putting close to 14 to 15 miles on boots in one day and glassing animals.
And Brian Barney is, let's just say, Brian Barney is like a mountain goat. He is like a compact dude, and he just goes. He puts on weight and goes. Like, I've hunted with him once, and that was... we barely got in there, and I'm like, Brian.
I'm done.
I need to slow down. I'm going to die. Like, I think that was by the time when we got out of the, I think that was right as we were getting out of the parking lot, I was like that.
Yeah.
But so there's some serious experience on the mountain as you guys are hiking up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it, like I said, being in this mountain range is very similar to me for home, but still just riding with these or rolling out with these guys is just, it's a learning experience for sure. I mostly hunt by myself or with my father on occasion. And I kind of go at my own pace, man. So to hunt with some of these or to get out with some of these guys. And I'll tell you what, I can't keep a pace with Brian Barney. That's for sure. I'm kind of like a buffalo. And that guy's like an antelope or something, if you will. You know, just don't I don't move with as much elegance and grace. We're about the, we're the same height. We're the same draw length. But the guy moves a lot quicker than I do. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's like I was blown away because it's just go. And it's not
absolutely.
It doesn't look like he tires. It's like, I don't understand it. And I get it. He lives at elevation, but, you know.
Yeah.
So what would you say were your biggest takeaways from the hike itself?
Yeah, I mean, I've done plenty of hikes or plenty of hunts in my day, but just kind of picking these guys' brains on the way, you know, while I was gasping for air and asking questions when I could to try to slow them down. I mean, these guys were super, super receptive and willing to give you feedback on just about everything. And being foreign to Montana, you know, there's a bunch of stuff I don't know, but I mean, these guys were giving you any question you ask, you know, I mean, you could even ask these guys for pins on their freaking Onyx to go somewhere and they're helping you out. So
that's the thing that's like.
I guess that's a sign. Not everybody hit him up for Onyx fans. But.
So here's Brian Barney's email address. Here's Ryan's
Cell phone number.
Just request their Onyx pins.
But I mean, it just kind of boils down to again, just kind of like we did with the Mountain Tough, is like mental toughness, you know, just getting out there and getting after it. I think really that hike they took the guys on and they ended up doing 14 to 15 miles was just an absolute burner, man. You want to see what guys are capable of. I think there's a decent mix of experienced hunters here and relatively new hunters here that, I mean, plenty of guys that came from the Midwest or East Coast that don't really get to experience this elevation and were kind of concerned with how they would do. And they absolutely smoked it, man.
Nice.
You know, just the experience of getting out and getting on the mountain and learning from guys that live here and do this all the time is invaluable. So,
well, I feel like the cool thing about the mountain hike too is anybody that whenever you've tried to teach a skill that you've known for a long time, there's always stuff you take for granted. Like whatever it is, like just things you kind of do naturally that you didn't realize you learned or picked up, and you wouldn't necessarily like if in a classroom setting, you wouldn't necessarily know to teach someone that specific thing, but when you're experiencing something with someone else that does that, those things come up naturally and you learn it kind of the same way they learned it. And it's just, I feel like experience like that is one of the most it's the most invaluable thing you can have.
Nothing beats boots on the ground. Like, you can listen to, and it's great to listen to a bunch of podcasts. You can, the great thing about 2020 is you can go on YouTube and learn a bunch of stuff, but nothing beats boots on the ground and talking to these guys who have a lifetime of experience. And even just the 4 days you're here, it's a overwhelming amount of experience. And even coming from a guy who I've been mule deer hunting my entire life, and I'm learning stuff every day here.
And it's so you have the whole mountain experience, 2 days of the mountain experience. You come down, we have an awesome barbecue, courtesy of Birch Barrel.
Birch Barrel. Spot. Employee of the month.
I'm the employee of the month. That does not get paid.
Sorry, employee of the year.
Whoa, don't be confusing me like that.
Yep.
I'm apparently the easily confused employee of the year. This is not like a paid promotion of Birch Barrel. I just think it's freaking awesome, and we've been eating like kings off of these things.
Appreciated that.
For 2 weekends in a row. I'm just, I'm just angling for a free one, you know.
Getting close. Getting real close.
I'm just saying they look good in the beach in California.
There we go. We'll get some of those shots. No, but we've been eating like kings. Awesome barbecue after everyone came down off the mountain. Dave Brinker killed it with his Western hunting themed country music, which is awesome. It's funny because you think about it and, you know, country music's all about like, dirt roads and trucks and everything, but it's not about, I mean, he's got a song specifically about, like, okay, the dirt roads we have aren't the dirt roads y'all are singing about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just cool having him out, and he, you know, just absolutely killed it. It's perfect for this environment.
He's a good
guy. And then we got 2 days in the classroom, which sounds dry, but it is far from it. I mean, just people, we've talked about it, but the amount of knowledge in this room is just absolutely insane. And especially coming from both summits. You know, this, I mean, we got Ryan and Brian and Cody and Remy Warren and, I mean, Matt Singer's here for the Elk Summit. Like, Randy Newberg was out. Like, all of these people, I mean, you can check out the whole lineup on the website, but
it's impressive.
It's each of these individual pieces, I feel like, would be more than worth
their
the cost
own,
of entry. Like, yeah. But the fact you get it all, you get them, like, this whole experience, all the giveaways, like, and those are such a minor part of what it is. Like, I don't even like talking about them because I don't like making it feel like, oh, you know, come so you can get free gear or anything like that, but there's some awesome giveaways, too. Like, you know, there's knives and gear and camo and then all the food. Like, this is an incredible event. You don't get stuff like this.
Yeah, it's not a, you know, it's not one of the traditional consumer shows.
Yeah.
It's not that.
This is not the experience you get, like, shaking someone's hand at an expo.
Yeah.
And, like, all of the guys, like, I mean, Matt Singer's still sitting over here, like, hours has it been?
Yeah.
Just talking with everyone. Yep. You know, Remy was around.
Yeah.
Like,
Barney's still here hanging out. Hillary's still here. Yeah.
I'm not the celebrity. I'm the worst.
You're the most important piece of the puzzle.
Y'all may not be able to. We got the lovely Hillary Lampers over here. We're doing a little recap of the event so far, and
yeah, I hear you're like getting everyone's story. I love that.
Hillary has been seriously. I've been staying with Ryan and Hill. I've of course again since hunting season become their third child again.
He didn't take the garbage out yesterday.
I forgot to take the garbage out, and then I forgot a box of T-shirts today. I got in trouble for that.
Time out, for
but,
sure.
That's all right.
Hillary has been working tirelessly, like, cooking incredible food. Oh, my gosh, the lunches today and all of the if I steal another one of those banana bread muffins, I'm going to have to back off.
What are you trying to do to me?
No more.
But
yeah,
the amount
that
of
apple crisp, yeah. Huh?
Oh man, guys, we're
Camp
sitting
crisp.
Here like drooling right now. You can't see it, but it's all of us are kind of getting this glazed look from the amount of food and the quality that's been going on. But I mean, you really can't match an event like this. And like, so what? Maybe talk about some of the stuff. What were some of the takeaways you got from the? I don't want to call them classes, the presentations today.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because you have all these different, I guess if you will, instructors, but these guys that have a lifetime of hunting experience talking about the same subject, which is mule deer hunting. You know, you'll go from high country to low country to different kind of hunting styles, and you'll kind of find that it's not my way or the highway. You know, I mean, you can find big deer and all different ranges of elevation, different areas. It's just more so about just getting after it and sticking with it. Not all of these guys hunt the same way, and it's good to kind of learn about these different ways. And for me, somebody who's been doing it my whole life, it kind of I like coming out here because it kind of validates some of the stuff that I've been doing. I'm like, well, you know, I'm doing some stuff right, you know? So if these guys are doing some of the stuff I'm doing, I think I'm doing okay. But I mean, it's a wealth of knowledge that you'll gain in these 4 days. I mean, almost too much to walk away with. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you don't come away from this thing learning something, then you're not paying attention. So it's pretty simple.
I can't remember where I picked up the term. I can't remember like who gave me this term, but I love it because it's such an apropos visualization, we call it drinking from the fire hose.
Yep.
Where it's
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
You just kind of stick your face in front of it, open your mouth, and hope you take in as much as well you humanly can.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because it's like, you know, all right, I can take in this much information, and you're getting probably 10 times that, and thankfully there will be videos later.
Yeah, and there's definitely stuff to take away from this. I mean, just different techniques, whether it be from glassing or some of these guys steel hunt, or even just how to, I guess, kind of use Onyx and some of these guys hunting close to the fringe, public to private, and travel routes. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, man. I thought I knew a decent bit. I've taken quite a few new hunters out, and then I come out here and, you know, talk to most or see most of these guys who I kind of look up to into the hunting industry, and just, it's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, these guys have probably forgotten more than I know about hunting. So
it blows me, and it's inspiring. It's not like an intimidating sort of way. It's like it pumps you up. It's not like, crap, I'm never going to be at these guys' level. Like, you don't walk away feeling like that. You walk away like, oh, crap, I got to put in for more tags this year. Like, I'm like, all about it. You know, it gets you really pumped up. And
they say it several times. I mean, like, pretty much everyone said it. It's kind of hunt to your own strengths. You know, like I said, no, not everybody hunts the same way. You figure out your strengths, and you figure out what works for you. But they say it a bunch. Everybody's capable of doing this. You just got to have the kind of the willpower, the dedication, the want to get out in the backcountry and get after it and do this. So
Corey, I can't believe you haven't been sitting in on these. You should have thrown that in as part of the Birch Barrel deal.
I should have. You're absolutely right. I absolutely should have.
Something tells me Ryan and Hill wouldn't exactly be throwing you out if you showed up.
No, I'm sure it would have been fine. Unfortunately, just work right now as a startup.
You gotta be a professional and stuff.
Yeah, kind of grinding it out right now. Unfortunately, just not an opportunity for me. But thankfully, they live 30 minutes away from myself, so
you can always go ask for the personal lesson.
Yeah.
So okay, I do want to give you a little chance. Tell us about the Birch Barrel.
So the Birch Barrel is a charcoal or wood-fired grill that creates a communal atmosphere and a place to better connect with your food, family, and friends.
So now that we were done reading the brochure, tell us about the Birch Barrel.
That's good. That's good. I like it. I don't know what to say now. That's my elevator pitch. What do you mean? No,
why is this not a barbecue?
Like, I mean, it is.
Like,
it is,
it's
a
just
barbecue,
not like any other barbecue.
So, I mean, the grill space is saturated, right? I think we can all agree that there's grills for days out there. The nice thing about the Birch Barrel, and it's not right for everyone, it's not meant for everyone, but if you like to cook over an open flame, or you have interest in learning how to cook over open flame or just charcoal, as well as believing that food brings people together and that, you know, yeah, we spend enough time on phones or digital, it's time to just drop that stuff and connect with people. The barrel just is a more involved culinary experience. And when I say involved, not to intimidate people, it's actually very convenient to use, but it's just more hands-on. And again, that's why I use the word connect. It allows you to connect with your food, allows you to connect with your family, allows you to connect with your friends. So it's just more fun. It's more entertaining. It's more social.
Well, I think it fits, you know, of course, that's like a huge push of yours is the wild game, but it fits that wild game environment so much because you think about it, it's like the oldest thing in the book. Like,
cooking over fire is the oldest thing in the book.
You don't go buy a steak from the store.
Me cook over fire.
You don't go buy a steak from the store and like take it to your neighbor and be like, here, I brought you this tri-tip that I bought from Ralph's. Like, no, you don't do that. But how often, like, you're like, hey, man, I made this like elk sausage or something. Like, you want some? Like, it's such a communal thing, and it brings people together. And so I feel like that's one of the cool things. It just ties in so well with that whole idea of, like, the wild game
that
experience.
Absolutely.
And expands on that.
Entirely, yeah. We've always said whether you've raised it, killed it, or harvested it, or caught it, like, those are the variables that I think people just get drawn to, or those are the people that we, you know, associate with.
Yeah. But it is definitely not something you pack up the mountain, so do not.
No, this is the Birch Barrel is not a. It's not a jet boil.
Do it.
Just do it though.
You know what though? That's like a photo shoot right there. You find the one person that will pack it up the mountain, and you like set that thing up right on top of the missions or something.
His name's Brian Barney. Over there.
Brian, we need a.
The closest to this is talking with Dustin Rowe with Backcountry BC and Beyond, or BC Backcountry and Beyond. I always mess that up, but he's a good friend of mine as well. They're going to try to horse pack it into one of their sheep camps.
There you go.
May not be this year. Things are kind of rough, but it's fun to be around. It just belongs at camp sometimes, but also
you could
on your deck.
On, like, you can take this, you could throw this in the back of your truck. It packs down really well. And if, you know, set up a base camp, you know, you hike in for a couple of days, you take an animal, you bring this back, you are having a dang feast.
You're eating some of that,
especially
for sure, easily.
Especially if Andy is in your camp and he will do a flip-flop field for you.
Yeah,
it's I don't know what this flip-flop is, so you gotta
wait. Did you not have any of the flip-flop when he was sitting over here?
Yes, I did. I know exactly what a flip-flop is now. I'm sorry, folks.
My heart broke for a second there that I thought you had missed out on
delicious.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a California guy, so I was thinking of the things that go on your feet, flip-flops.
Yeah. And we are all coincidentally wearing flip-flops right now, like a bunch
that
of
is kinda funny.
Dang hippies.
That's funny. So the flip-flop, should we explain the flip-flop? Do you want to explain it?
You are the culinary master here, so you can explain it.
I don't know if I'm a culinary master. We should get Andy over here to explain it.
You should see last video.
Basically visualize an open flame. He gets the barrel going to about 700 to 900, somewhere in there, 700 to 900 degrees, and takes an entire whitetail or mule deer hind quarter and bastes it with his own family recipe, and basically, you know, sears one side, flips it over, cuts it like, you know, like sandwich meat, basically, and serves it.
It's kind of very reminiscent of like the gyro when they're slicing it off on
El Pastor.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
California.
I should have gone that way.
It's just delicious.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's
fun to be around, and it's
again, it's a communal
food thing.
Everyone wants you want to watch it too, because like he's sitting there, he's got like. Is it like rosemary? He brushes it with
brushes it with a rosemary mop.
He like makes his own brush. It's not even like a store bought.
So it's very sexy.
It's a crazy experience. And then, you know, there's a lot of amazing people here. And then there's Cody Rich of the Rich Outdoors.
What is he doing right now?
I don't know. There we go. There's
there
the flip
go.
Off.
That's what it is.
I was like, it's not fun to talk crap about someone if they don't hear you.
That's funny.
I'm
distracted with a podcast. I can't start a fire right now. You're an adult. You can do it.
All right, guys. So here's the question. This one thing I always like to wind down with is I'm going to pose this to both of you. Corey, I'll start with you. Say, you know, you're just somewhere. You're somewhere. You run into someone. They know you're into hunting. You know, they know you're all about the wild game. They're like, you know, man, that's like I really think, like, hunting's amazing. I've always wanted to do it, but, like, I just didn't grow up in that environment. I don't have any friends that do it. I have no background in it. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's something I can do personally. What would you say to, like, encourage or inspire that person?
It's a really good question. It's probably one of the most intimidating things, and I've always thought about this. I've always thought about that, you know, the things that some of the conservation organizations are doing for education or simply just the governments are doing for education are good. I think we can expand on some of those things to make it more inviting. But I think those are the best things for people to participate in, or there's those larger group activities to learn. So that's where I would start with, and then just go do it. Like, break that barrier and just go do it. So learn the basics, how to gut, right? You don't want to waste an animal. So watch YouTube if you have to. I mean, it's hard. I've actually thought that this was a good, somebody should do this. There needs to be a foam, you know, those devices that you can, like, give mouth to mouth and resuscitation. And, like there should be that for an animal, and somebody should be able to take plastic knife.
It's like those skeletons in science class where they have, like, the organs.
Somebody needs to do that so you can actually get hands-on, because I think that's the biggest intimidation factor for anyone who wants to get in is you don't want to kill an animal and then not successfully harvest it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to waste that.
Yeah.
And so that's the most intimidating thing, but that's the great thing about that mindset is you don't want to do that. So guess what? You're probably not going to do that. So kind of not to say to get over it, but like just go experience it. If you've got friends, which not everyone does, obviously tag along with that. But you're going to learn a lot at Hunter's Ed, Hunter Safety, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I'd start. Unfortunately, you're not coming hunting with me. But fishing, I'll take you fishing all day long. But
what's right, Chris? What's the question again? You gotta repeat the question.
Right, so say, sorry, you know, you're in California. You know, you're whatever. You're at the grocery store. You're wearing a hunting shirt. Somebody's like, "Oh man, you hunt?"
I wear Van shirts. Yeah, flat bills.
You're right. So they see some sort of hunting gear, and they're like, "Oh, you hunt?" And you're like, "Do I really want to say?" You have that moment. In California, we all have that moment when somebody asks you. You're like, you have to go through, you have to kind of build up that, like, all right, I'm about to say yes. You have to prepare yourself for the argument if it comes.
The response you're going to get,
You're like, because you never know. And so far, it's always been, honestly, like, I've not gotten a negative, even from, like, hardcore. Yeah, I'm going to digress for a second here because I haven't told this story in a long time. I was hiking up to Griffith Observatory. I would do that every day. It was like the only like good hike up the hill I could get. So I'm sitting there after my hike. I'm drinking some water. And I hear this. They're British. They're next to me. I hear their accents. And one of them says, is there any other phrase for killing two birds with one stone? I just don't like it because it advocates violence against animals. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, if these people only knew what I do. like, I was losing it. And so, like, I end up running into them later. Like, they had asked me something. They had asked me, like, where the nearest coffee shop was. And I gave them some directions. And they run into me. We took different routes down. So they run into me again. They're like, oh, what are you training for? Because I was clearly, you know,
exercising.
Training for something. I had a pack on. And I'm like, well, y'all may not like me very much, but
gonna kill some stuff.
And we proceeded to talk for the next hour as we walked, and we like stood on the sidewalk and just talked. And they walked away. Like, I mean, we're talking like vegan, like hard, would not say the phrase killing two birds with one stone, kind of like anti-violence against animals. And they walked away. They're going, we had no idea about any of this. We didn't understand how it worked, you know, because they fell prey to the whole idea of beers and deers, and we're just shooting everything any time of year.
Yeah.
You know, kind of mentality. They thought that's what it was, especially coming, you know, as Brits coming into America. What? Did I hear cold smoke being crap?
Cold smoke? What?
But so, like, I've honestly never had, like, a really negative experience when somebody asks. But so say, you know, somebody comes up, and after you get through that initial, okay, here we go. You know, they say, you know, it's really cool. I love that idea of, like, going out and harvesting my own meat and all this stuff. But I grew up in L.A., man, or I grew up in San Francisco. I got no friends that do this. I don't know, man. There's a lot to learn. It's kind of intimidating. I don't know if it's for me. Like, what would you say to that person? Like, how would you encourage them?
Well, I mean, what do you want to feed your family, right? Like, there's obviously some reason, whatever it is, this person is considering going hunting and harvesting an animal for. And the reason I do it, A, it's a family tradition. B, I like to feed my family good food, right? But I'd say there's more people out there doing it than you know. I mean, in particular in California, a lot of us folks that are hardcore hunters, conservationists, we kind of sometimes may keep our heads down. But if you reach out, I mean, there's plenty of online forums. I mean, if you run into someone in public and you want to talk to them, there's plenty of people willing to help you out and get after it. I mean,
I don't know any hunter that if you come up and like ask them to talk to you about hunting, that won't be like, okay, how long do you have?
Exactly. I mean, I can't tell you how many events I've been late to or family functions I've been late to because I've been striking up a conversation about hunting. So I'm one of the guys, and I hope most of the guys out there or gals that are hunting are doing the same thing. I mean, I love getting people into hunting. You know, to me, it's something that, again, it's a family tradition with me. I hope it's carried on through generations, and I love sharing my knowledge with folks, however little knowledge I have compared to some of these folks here. I mean, I love passing that on to folks. So I encourage people to reach out, and there's more people out there doing it than you'd think, especially in California.
You would be surprised. I think we keep our heads down just because there is that negative attitude. But then I think there's also like this little bit of us that kind of wants to believe we're the only hunter in California.
Hey, yeah,
like we kind of want to buy into the stereotype a little bit too. Because it's a little, you
just
know,
a little
it's
bit. It's machismo, man.
Oh, totally. You know? Totally is. But
this guy's a hardcore California hunter.
Gentlemen, well, thank you. I'm glad we polished off a couple of beers.
Cheers.
I think we're about to go sit Cheers. Around the Birch Barrel, a little campfire. And that's the
more
other thing
plugs,
about the Birch
more
Barrel.
More plugs.
You crank up that grill.
Shameless.
Dear Lord, I need to be charging you.
One beer every time you say Birch Barrel.
I'm gonna get a package in the mail with like 40 Birch Barrel t-shirts or something.
Large.
There we go. You're learning. Yeah, right. I would be swimming in that thing. I'm a medium, just barely.
Medium. A sexy medium.
There we go. I look really sexy in that medium. Anyway. We're about to go sit around the Birch Barrel campfire and enjoy the rest of the evening. But, guys, thank you for sitting down. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Till next time.
Till next time.
It's a good time.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. That'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.